RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Amended election bill will not be delayed, President says. Indonesian timber will enter European Union. European Union support Indonesia to ratify Paris Agreement. Now, the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has given an assurance that the government proposed revision of the general election law will not be delayed due to short-term political interest. President Jokowi said while chairing a limited meeting to discuss the general election bill at the presidential's office on Tuesday that the general election law must ensure the creation of an honest and fair democracy. The president noted that since the reform movement was launched nearly 18 years ago, the election law, including the law on the membership of the House of Representatives, Regional Legislative Council, and Regional Representative Council, and the president and vice president election law have been amended several times. Joko Widodo said the planned amendment in the election law is a necessity because it is in tandem with the change in the administrative system as well as with efforts to improve the quality of democracy. The president further said the election bill will require new regulation to adjust to the Constitutional Court's decision that the legislative election and the presidential's election are held at the same time. The Indonesian government will soon start timber shipping to European countries. The first shipment is scheduled to be started at mid-November. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Gerang, in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the timber shipment is an implementation of the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union in the framework of forest law enforcement, governance and trade. The FLEGT promotes forest governance reform and combating illegal logging. According to Ambassador Vincent, the Indonesian timber will be eased to enter European Union countries.
Very soon, the first shipment of Indonesian timber, which have been labeled as compliant with EU regulation, will enter European shores, and they will enter almost freely without further custom controls, because the EU, thanks to this agreement, does recognize the Indonesian licensing scheme. So it's a bilateral agreement, which is a first worldwide.
Ambassador Vincent Gerang further stated that currently over 90% of Indonesia's timber export are from independently audited factories and forests. By virtue of the landmark achievement, Indonesia is on course to soon become the first country in the world to have fully forest law enforcement, governance and trade, compliant national timber legality system which will be enable Indonesia to export timber products to Europe through a fast-track channel. The European Union, together with France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Denmark, the Netherlands and Sweden, hold Climate Diplomacy Week as a follow-up of the Conference of Paris 21 or COP21 in Paris and preparation for the Climate Change Conference in Marrakesh, COP22. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Gerang, Tuesday at the launch of the Climate Diplomacy Week in Jakarta stated, that the Climate Diplomacy Week is aimed at promoting the fight against climate change and communicates climate change objectives with the public.
Well, it's about raising awareness for climate change. We all believe that it is high time now for everybody to be even more aware about the challenge for climate change. Last year was particularly important. It was at head of state and government, and there was an agreement which will have to be signed and now ratified by each and every country. And we have to keep the momentum.
Furthermore, Ambassador Vincent Gerard said that the European Union is fully committed to implement the Paris Agreement, as well as the G20 member states to do the same. According to him, currently the two biggest global emitters, namely the United States and China, have ratified the agreement. He further mentioned that the European Union is also committed to share experiences and support Indonesia's efforts to ratify the agreement in the near future. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, Vincent Jorang, in Jakarta on Tuesday, expressed his support towards Indonesia's efforts to ratify the Paris Agreement as a result of the Conference of Parties, COP21, on climate change in Paris. The document consists of agreements to limit the rise of the global temperature to a figure of 2 Celsius degree by 2020. According to Ambassador Vincent, the efforts to limit the rise of the global temperature should be conducted together with international communities.
We are very glad to work hand in hand with Indonesia when it comes to climate change mitigation. And as I said at the beginning, this has to be a joint effort, an effort with the rest of the international community. We're very much looking forward to the hopefully upcoming ratification by Indonesia of the Paris Agreement.
Furthermore, Ambassador Vincent Jorang said that the biggest global emitters, namely the United States and China, have ratified the Paris Agreement on climate change. He said that Indonesia is an important actor as the fourth biggest global emitters based on its size and nature. Therefore, Indonesia plays its important role in fighting climate change and will create huge differences in the global communities. Indonesia plans to start implementing coordinated patrols with the Philippines and Malaysia this year as part of efforts to step up maritime defense in regional waters amid the risk of piracy and hostage-taking. Defense Minister Riamizat Trenkudu said on Tuesday that the Indonesian Navy is currently drafting the routes for the joint patrols, which would stretch to the piracy-prone waters of the Sulu Sea to realize the trilateral maritime agreement signed by the three countries in August. He believed that Indonesia can start the coordinated patrols this year. Riamizat stated that he will meet the Malaysian Defense Minister in the near future to further discuss the plan. Aside from drafting the coordinated patrols routes, the Navy is also mulling the safest routes for commercial ships to use in the area, especially those traveling back and forth among the three countries. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP Asia, is interested to provide assistance to the Makassar City Administration for establishing a transportation management system. UNDP Asia Director Pafani Reddy said on Tuesday that UNDP is interested in helping the administration mainly to help Makassar realize its public transportation innovations. She added that the city administration is currently focusing on developing its mass transportation system in order to cope with high population growth. Makassar is considered one of the busiest and the fastest developing cities in Indonesia. Reddy has observed that Makassar is a metropolis. Congestion is a main problem in the city. Meanwhile, Makassar Mayor M. Ramdan Pomanto noted that the administration is now developing an organized public transportation system. According to the mayor, sidewalks will be integrated with the public transportation system as people need walking space to access any mode of transportation. The Policy Assessment and Development Agency at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will be holding an international symposium to celebrate the 20 years of the establishment of the Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, in Yogyakarta on September 14 to 15, 2016. A statement issued by the agency and received on Tuesday said, "The International Symposium was part of a series of such events during Indonesia's leadership of the IORA for 2015-2017. IORA is an organization of the Indian Ocean bordering coastal states. The organization was established in March 1997 and currently comprises 21 countries. The international symposium will be held under the theme, The 20 Years of IORA, Learning from the Past and Mapping Out the Future. The symposium is a forum for brainstorming and exchanging ideas concerning the IORA's journey over the last 20 years. The event will also map the challenges, gather lessons learned during IORA's development, and formulate strategies to strengthen the organization's future. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Another Armistice in Syria. Good news came from the talks in Geneva, Switzerland, held by two major countries supporting the warring factions in Syria. The United States and Russia agreed to ceasefire that has been in effect since Monday, 12 September. This positive outcome is the culmination of a three-day meeting starting last Friday, 9 September. The negotiations carried out directly by United States Secretary of State John Kerry and his counterpart Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. In a statement quoted by AFP, John Kerry said Russia and the US has formulated a more precise approach and good faith. Furthermore, if the conflicting parties apply this properly, then it is the Syria people who will feel the positive results. As it is known, the United States support the opposition faction of Bashar al-Assad government. On the contrary, Russia support the Assad government. Under the deal, the Syrian government forces will end combat missions in areas controlled by the opposition. According to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, the opposition showed its readiness to follow the truce and condition that the Syrian government demonstrates its seriousness. Lavrov added that Russia had informed the Syrian government on the result of the deal and Assad is ready to comply. The ceasefire will then proceed with a coordination between the US and Russia to fight the militant group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, and Fateh al-Sham Front, which is a wing of Al-Qaeda in Syria. Coordination between the two countries will be carried out through the Joint Implementation Center, or JIC. 7 months earlier, at the end of February 2016, the United States and Russia had also imposed a ceasefire. According to a joint statement, at the time, the truce applies only to warring parties in Syria with various conditions. But it does not apply to groups that support the ISIS and Al-Qaeda front. The truce was in effect for a week, but then the conflict continues. The conflict in Syria that started in 2011 has claimed nearly 300,000 people casualties and left more than 4 million people have been forced to leave their homeland. Hopefully, the ceasefire, which coincides with the Muslim celebration of Eid al-Adha, becomes a momentum for the warring parties to fight against their common enemy, namely extremist groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda. The good intention, as expressed by Minister John Kerry, is the one that could dampen the intention to destroy each other between the government and the rebels opposing Assad. May the ceasefire applies as long as possible, so there will be no more civilian casualties in Syria. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from September 14, 1908. Balai Pustaka was established. Balai Pustaka originated from the Dutch colonial government commission that wanted to give readings for the natives and the reading of the people. Balai Pustaka was firstly formed on September 14, 1908. At the beginning of its formation, Balai Pustaka was named early Komisi voor de Inlandse en Volkslectuur, which was chaired by Dr. Hazo. Balai Pustaka was officially opened after obtaining the consent from the government. Since then, Balai Pustaka began to produce readings that have moral and cultural elements. Since that time, there also appeared many writers who published their works through the Central Library. In 1917, the name of Balai Pustaka was officially used to replace the old names that still using Dutch. We now turn to an event on September 14, 1960, the OPEC was established. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, is an organization of gathering place for oil exporting countries. OPEC was founded on September 14, 1960 by five member countries, namely Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, after the convening of the Conference of Baghdad on August 10 to 14 of August 1960, then followed by the five oil-producing countries. The OPEC's headquarters was originally located in Geneva since January 21, 1961 to August 1965, then moved to Vienna. At the beginning of its formation, it was agreed that OPEC aims to keep the stability of the international oil prices in the interest of its member states. We now ended today's segment of Today in History with an event on September 14th, which is celebrated as Visit Library Day. September 14th is the day of Visit Library, and September is the Joy of Reading Month. The declaration was started in 1995 by President Suharto. The goal is to increase public interest in Indonesia, which is still low at that time. Reading, also known as the gateway of civilization. Countries with a penchant for high reading tend to have a more advanced civilization. The data of sociocultural statistics of Central Bureau of Statistics in 2012 showed that the Indonesian people do not make reading as the main source of information. Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in 2009 put Indonesia's interest in reading at the lowest position among 52 East Asian countries. Meanwhile, in 2011, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, released data that the index reading interest in Indonesia is only 0.001, means from 1,000 people, only one person who has interest in reading. Therefore, the government strives to increase public interest for reading in Indonesia, such as by determining Visit Library Day and the Joy of Reading Month. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voy Green. In today's edition, we present you about Raja Ampat, a place where 250 bird species live. In district of Raja Ampat, West Papua, it becomes a place where 250 species of birds live, and it is assessed as a potential place for tourism development in the region. The regent of Raja Ampat, Abdul Umlati, told Antara News Office in Manokwari, said today, September 10th, that Raja Ampat is not only known as maritime tourism, but it also has amazing resources potential, such as the birds that live in the forest. The region said some of the islands which have high biodiversity for birds tourism, for instance, Waigeo Island, Misol Island, Kofio Island, Batanta Island, and Salawati Island. In Waigeo Island, the tourists can easily see red cendrawasih and the charming small cendrawasih, namely bald cendrawasih. There is also another endemic bird of Waigeo Island, namely Maleo Waigeo or Ipepodius Brigini. The Nature Conservancy Organization of Raja Ampat, as well as Fauna and Flora International, noted that Waigeo Island has 173 various species of birds, 11 of which are endemic birds in Papua Island. Michael Tarburton, in publicating the Avifauna of Misol, noted that Misol Island has 141 species of birds and has potential for fantastic bird tourism. Misol Island is one of four biggest islands in Raja Ampat Islands. On Monday 2015, a team which consists of the Nature Conservancy, Papua Bird Club, and Dr. Richard Nosk, who is a bird expert from Australia, who is also a president of Birds Queensland, conducted bird observation in Misol Island and Kofio Island. During the observation in Kapachol Village, South Misol District, the team saw five species of Cendrawasih. To see the birds is easy because the location can be reached easily. On the observation in Kofio Island, the team found about 50 species of birds. Kofio has the attractiveness for the bird researchers and the observers because it has two species of endemic birds, namely Raja Udang Kofio bird or Kofio Paradise Kingfisher and Kofio Monarch or Kecap Kofio. In August 23rd, 2016, at Raja Ampat Region Office in Waisai, the Local Tourism Office, the Nature Conservancy, Fauna and Flora International, Biodiversity Conservation Hall, and Papua Bird Club held an event to expose biodiversity and enchantment of Raja Ampat birds. This activity is held as an effort to spread the information about biodiversity and enchantment of birds in Raja Ampat Islands. It is also used for sharing how to manage bird tourism so that there will be a chance and strategy to develop the area as well as to solve the challenge. From the activity, it is now initiated the development of Raja Ampat Land Tourism Observer Forum, which consists of people of Raja Ampat, organization, and related stakeholders. The forum is formed to encourage and develop the land management so that we can give economic advantages for people by giving priority for environmental sustainability principles. Listener, that was today's Voice Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has given an assurance that the government proposed revision of the general election law will not be delayed due to short-term political interest. Indonesia plans to start implementing coordinated patrols with the Philippines and Malaysia this year as part of efforts to step up maritime defense in regional waters amid the risk of piracy and hostage taking. The United Nations Development Programme, UNDP Asia, is interested to provide assistance to the Makassar City Administration for establishing a transportation management system. The Policy Assessment and Development Agency at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will be holding an international symposium to celebrate the 20 years of the establishment of the Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, in Yogyakarta on September 14-15, 2016. Listener, that was Lucine Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuga Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a martial art from West Sumatra. Listeners, West Sumatra is a well-known region with various kinds of martial arts which are preserved from generation to generation. One of them is Silat Kubu Gadang from Kubu Gadang village, Padang Panjang. The local people called it Silat Lanya or mud martial art. It is called with the name because this martial art is held on the field which is wet and muddy. When doing Lanya martial art, the players wear special costume and accompanied by typical music of Minangkabau. Usually, they drift, fly, swing their foot and kick in muddy field. Everyone who witnesses it certainly will amaze. Silat Lanya becomes an entertainment performance for guests who come to the region. Pesilat or martial art players will make the guests amazed with their ability. No wonder, with all the uniqueness and its beauty, Silat Lanya has potential to attract tourists to come to Padang Panjang. Based on history of the local art, Silat has very sticken with Kubu Gadang people's life. Kubu Gadang is an original hometown of one of teachers of Silat Tua Perempuan or female martial arts in West Sumatra, namely Inyak Upia Patatiang. Perhaps when she was more than 100 of year, Upia Palatiang still able to perform martial art in agile until the end of her life. Listeners, you can see Silat Lanya at Ekor Lubuk Village, East Padang Panjang, precisely on Jalan Kampung Kubu Gadang. There is a uniqueness at the village. If you arrive at the road toward Kubu Gadang Village, women tourists who wear short pants or shirt will be given clothes to close their feet. It is one of traditions of the village which must be respected. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Silat Lanya. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia.
Today we feature a topic entitled Pergi ke Pasar Modern, which in English means going to a modern market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice loudly and you can repeat after me. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi, which means good morning. Bagaimana kabarmu? Bagaimana kabarmu, which means how are you? Hari ini. Hari ini, which means today. Sangat baik. Sangat baik, which means very good. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Ke pasar modern. Ke pasar modern, which means to a modern market. Sering. Sering, which means often. Sayur dan buah. Sayur dan buah, which means vegetable and fruit. Dalam keadaan segar. Dalam keadaan segar, which means in fresh condition. Ikan, daging ayam, dan daging sapi. Ikan, daging ayam, dan daging sapi, which means fish, chicken, and meat. Bagus. Bagus, which means good. Tempat parkir. Tempat parkir, which means parking area. Motor dan mobil. Motor dan mobil, which means motorbike and car. Luas. Luas, which means large. Bersih. Bersih, which means clean. Bisa tawar menawar. Bisa tawar menawar, which means can bargain. Minggu depan. Minggu depan, which means next week. Aku ikut denganmu. Aku ikut denganmu, which means I follow with you. Dengan senang hati. Dengan senang hati, which means with my pleasure. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Pergi ke Pasar Modern, or in English means going to a modern market. The conversation is between A. Nina and B. Lucy. A. Nina. Selamat pagi, Lucy. Selamat pagi, Lucy, which means good morning, Lucy. B. Lucy. Selamat pagi, Nina. Selamat pagi, Nina, which means good morning, Nina. A. Nina. Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Which means, how are you today? B. Lucy. Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? Which means, very well. How about you? A. Nina. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Which means, I'm fine. Thank you. B. Lucy. Kamu hendak pergi kemana? Kamu hendak pergi kemana? Which means, where are you going? A. Nina. Saya ingin ke pasar modern. Saya ingin ke pasar modern. Which means, I'm going to go to modern market. B. Lucy. Apakah kamu sering ke pasar modern? Apakah kamu sering ke pasar modern? Which means, do you often to go there? A. Nina. Ya, setiap hari Minggu. Ya, setiap hari Minggu, which means yes, I go there every Sunday. Saya suka pasar modern, sayur dan buah dalam keadaan segar. Saya suka pasar modern, sayur dan buah dalam keadaan segar. I like to go to modern market because vegetables and fruit still fresh. Ikan, ayam dan daging sapi juga baik. Ikan, ayam dan daging sapi juga baik.
fish, chicken, and meat still in good condition. Tempat parkir motor dan mobil luas. Tempat parkir motor dan mobil luas. It is only provided a large parking area for motorbikes and cars. Pasarnya bersih dan bisa tawar-menawar. Pasarnya bersih dan bisa tawar-menawar. The market also clean and can bargain the price. B. Lucy. Baiklah, minggu depan aku ikut denganmu ke pasar modern. Baiklah, minggu depan aku ikut denganmu ke pasar modern. Which means, all right, next week I will join with you to the modern market. A. Nina. Baiklah, dengan senang hati. Baiklah, dengan senang hati. Which means, okay, with my pleasure. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Tommy J. Pisa. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Di Batas Kota Ini by Tommy J. Pisa. Happy listening.
Batas kota ini ku menatap wajahmu. Perpisahan ini membuat duka di hati. Ingin ku berlari namun tak kuasa diriku. Engkau menangis dalam pelukanku. Sendiri kau terpaku melepas kepergianku. Air matamu berlinang membasahi pipi. Seakan kau sesali perpisahan ini. Janganlah kau sesali, janganlah kau tangisi. Aku pergi kembali lagi. Hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu. Nantikan aku di batas kota ini.
Pelabuhan jadi saksi, dermaga tua menanti. Di saat
thank you. lelahku melepas kepergianku. Air matamu berlinang membasahi pipi, seakan kau sesali perpisahan ini. Janganlah kau sesali, janganlah kau tangisi, aku pergi untuk kembali lagi. Hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu, nantikan aku di batas kota ini. Kembali lagi, hapuslah air matamu, hapus luka hatimu, nantikan aku di batas kota ini.
Listener on an area of 80s, Indonesian pop music became a choice of people, especially Indonesian pop music lovers. Tommy J. Pisa also enlivened the Indonesian pop music in the era with melancholic color of music. The song Di Batas Kota Ini has successfully catapulted his name equal with other well-known Indonesian pop singers at that time. The color of music, which was presented so beautiful, and tells about the love that occurred amongst human in their daily lives. Obviously, the strength of the lyrics with the melancholic rhythm was the reason that the songs of Tommy J. Pisa was accepted well by public. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Biarkan Aku Menangis by Tommy J. Pisa. Enjoy the song.
Untuk kita bercinta seperti yang telah kita lewati. Mengapa terlalu cepat kau pergi, tinggalkan batu nisan. Kenyataan ini begitu memilukan, ingin ku rasa turut serta. Tiada guna aku hidup begini tanpa belayan kekasih yang sangat ku sayangi. Kepedihan
kayu. Adakah hari esok untuk kita bercinta seperti yang telah kita lewati? Biarlah ku relakan kau pergi, tinggalkan derita bersamaku. Ku doakan kau bahagia di sisinya. Sementara biarkan aku menangis. Tiada guna aku hidup begini tanpa belayan kekasih yang sangat ku sayangi. Kepedihan yang kini ku rasakan darimu yang mencintai.
Listener, wherever you are, the sentimental song at that time was quickly and much accepted by Indonesian pop music lovers in the country. It is proven that the songs of Tommy J. Pisa were able to survive until the 1990s. After releasing many albums, Tommy J. Pisa lowering his recording activities but more intense in various off-air events. According to Tommy, he did not stop the activity completely, because singing is not merely to look for material, but to the inner satisfaction. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Cinta dan Harapan and Di Sini Cintaku Bersemi. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Terlalu mesra, bibirku yang memerah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Jauh sudah aku melangkah dalam menggapai impianku. Ketika kau tak ramah di saat rindu mencekam, haruskah diri luput dari mimpi sedangkan dirimu masih tetap sendiri. Entah apa kau cari, izinkan kehadiranku dalam kesunyian dirimu. Janganlah kau saksikan betapa tulus cinta kasihku.
Terima kasih. impianmu yang hilang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.